Thanks for listening to Matt McLaughlin History. Become a subscriber to receive exclusive bonus episodes, ad-free listening, early access to all episodes, and special member-only events. Click on the link in the show notes or visit patreon.com/mmhistory.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Living History and Battle Walks, another double episode, another two-for-one episode, and a slight apology. We are coming to you live from the battlefields. We have been a little remiss, Pete. We said we would do it every day, and it's just been so flat out. We've been doing so much great stuff that we haven't gotten the chance to do it every day, but this is the end of our time in Ypres, so I think it's a great opportunity now to do just a summary of everything we've been up to, because, mate, what a few days we've had.
Oh, it's been unreal. I mean, that's a prime example, isn't it? That every night we've been getting back and saying, right, let's get do a podcast. And have we done it? No, we haven't. Because we've looked at each other and thought, no, just need a beer. Just need to stop. Need to stop talking. Well, I need to stop talking anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's a sign of a good tour. We've been busy. We've been tired. We've packed a lot in. I tell you what, let me repeat that. We've packed a lot in. I thought to break it. So what we're going to do is a summary of everything we've been doing in the salient. But I thought a good way to do it, Pete, would be that we could talk about the regular stuff that we would do on a tour, but then also talk about a lot of the bonus visits we've done, because we've packed a lot of those in during our time in Ypres. So it's been, I mean, mate, firstly, have you enjoyed the experience? It's been from my point of view, it's been fantastic.
Oh, just fantastic. I mean, it helps by the clients as well. They're
all
engaging.
What a great group. We've had.
Just having a great time, yeah. It's been really good. Sensible questions, not so sensible questions. Fantastic. Keeps me on my toes. Well, keeps us on our toes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, give me that perspective, though, because this is my first time back on the battlefields, which has been great. But you've been coming back now for quite a while. I mean, it's been a pretty quick transition after those years, literally years of us, you know, sitting around on our hands, not doing anything thanks to our old friend COVID. Must be great just to be back here now, walking the ground, seeing your old friends, seeing the sights, and obviously this group sums up what a great bunch of Aussie travellers. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what I've really enjoyed. It's the combination of being with a bigger group, which you get that interaction with people. Of course, working with your good self, not a common occurrence as well. So that's another added bonus. And so, yeah, and then bumping into other people out and about on the battlefields. I mean, it all brings it. It all helps. It all helps get that camaraderie going, that fun going, bumping into people in different locations. And yeah, it's been brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Well, and we're still only halfway through.
The other good thing to say about it is I think that the time hasn't been wasted from the battlefield communities, because Ypres, you know, we're in Ypres right now. It looks amazing. The town looks clean. They've done some renovations on the cloth hall. I mean, the place looks fantastic. The people are happy to have tourists back. There's a real vibe on the battlefields that I think has been absent, that I don't remember from being here before. And so, you know, maybe at the end of the day, as much as we didn't want COVID, maybe there will be some good things that come out of it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and it is. It's nice to see the city kind of back on its feet again, because I visited a few times in the early days, just as COVID was lifting, restrictions were lifting, and it was still very, very quiet and still felt very odd. But it's coming back to life. In fact, it's come back to life. It's brilliant. It's nice to see the cloth. I mean, worked perfectly. The cloth all under wraps for quite a lot of the period during COVID, as it was being cleaned and renovated, and now it's back visible again. So it's great.
I hope it's not a little bit too clean, because normally I go up and I love rubbing my hands along the surface and feeling all the shell holes and the scars of war. It seems a little tidier now, so I don't know whether they've actually removed some of that damage in during the renovations.
No, I think it's just been cleaned. I think they've just given it a damn good clean. They have done a bit of structural work, but an awful lot is cleaning. And in fact, they're due to now start working on the roof further along. So I'm looking forward to seeing that being worked on as well.
And the Menin Gate too, of course. The suggestion is the Menin Gate's going to go under scaffolding and get cleaned up a bit, which, you know, when you think about it, over 100 years old now, so... getting close to 100 years old, not over 100 years old, but getting close to a century.
Well, we are lucky in the sense that in between your two signature tours, the Menin Gate will go under wraps for a while, and I think they're going to stop the services being directly underneath it. So by the time you're back here again, hopefully it'll be back operational again. But it's that's having a bit of structural work done to it, I think, on the Menin Gate.
Well, we should say, mentioning the signature tour, that's what we're currently doing. We're in the midst of the signature tour. And for next year, 2023, there are still some places left on that tour. Not many places. I mean, I think literally four or five places left at the time of recording. So considering we're over a year away, Pete, it's pretty good that people are this keen to come with us. But we should talk about what we get up to while we're actually on the tour, because it's just been great. I mean, the key to the signature tour... The first time, actually, you and I have done a tour together, and I think the thing that's defined it has been the bonuses, the additional stuff that we've seen.
I believe the thing that's defined it is the double act that we've managed to put together. It's working really well.
It's been, you know, I think it took us a day or two to get into our rhythm, I've got to say, at the start.
It did.
You know, it was quite funny that it was like, should I speak now? Well, maybe I'll speak. I've got something to contribute. But now we just go, well, really, it's the Pete Smith signature tour with contributions by Matt McLaughlin, which I'm loving. How about, mate, on the first day when you began to talk and I looked up and I was standing with the group just listening to you with rapt attention, and someone's like, Matt, shouldn't you be up the front? And I was like, you're probably right, maybe I should be. But no, it's been great, mate. Yeah, without blowing too much sunshine in various parts of your anatomy. It's been fantastic. I've really enjoyed that. I mean, I'm a Pete Smith fan, let's not deny it, and the chance to actually tour with you has been fantastic.
Well, I've really enjoyed it as well, because occasionally to be able to step back and let somebody else take over. Well, not occasionally. You've started kind of pulling your weight, I think. But to step back and let somebody else take over and listen, because we all have different perspectives as well. So that's always helpful, to get somebody else's perspective for a while.
Well, let's talk about what we saw. So, I mean, we'll skip through. We did the standard sites, you know, the Polygon Wood, Tynecott Cemetery, you know, the Battle of Passchendaele. These are all great places. I mean, I don't want to diminish them by saying the standard sites. I mean, this is the reason we come to the Western Front, because they're so iconic. 5th Division Memorial standing up on top of the Butte at Polygon Wood. I mean, just...
Laying the wreath under the Menin Gate is as moving as it can be. You know, that's the really the moving time for me, when we're all there a little bit polished up, perhaps, and looking forward to a few beers afterwards. But to lay our wreaths under the Menin Gate, fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. We always try to do that. We always try to make sure that members of our group lay a wreath rather than just watch the service. They actually get to participate. And we had some good ones this time, Pete. We had a few people on the tour who, you know, who had some pretty strong connections, and so laying that wreath for them was a special thing.
And to me, one of the great parts is, as well as actually the visiting the battlefields, it's the talking in the evening and the enjoyable evenings of chatting and taking the whole tour into the evenings as well, because you learn as much by chatting to the clients and as they do from me. I hope they all come with stories, don't they?
So it's fantastic. Yeah. The signature tour, not to bang on about it, but it really is a special event. Not to say the standard tours are not special, but
they're really great.
bonus visits, mate. We did some. I think the thing the signature tour does do is it gives us extra time. We do have extra time on the battlefields.
Yeah.
In fact, we have a whole extra day on the up here in the Salient, which gives us time to do some extra things, and that's what we've done. A couple that are worth mentioning specifically, like running into our good mate Simon Luaggi at Messine. Well, we didn't run into him. We asked him to we asked him to come and join us.
What a great chap.
He's a legend, isn't he? He's always one of the highlights of a tour. For those that don't know, Simon is a local. He is the director of Talbot House, which is a really important site here on the battlefields, the former Everyman's Club. And we'll get to that in a minute. But Simon met us in Messine. And, I mean, I was blown away just by his knowledge and his enthusiasm. He's a funny guy, too. I mean, he's got a lot to say, but I mean, the group just loved him. It was brilliant.
I felt under threat. I thought, I'm going to have to raise my game. Too. I'm going to have to raise my game here. He's good.
We were both getting upstage. But no, that was great. We met him in the square in Messines, and he talked about the village of Messines. And then he took us to the church, which is the centre of the fighting in several battles that took place in Messines. And the thing I enjoyed, Pete, is, I mean, I knew the history. It wasn't things I hadn't heard before. But to hear a local present the history of the town from the opening days of the war and, you know, several phases of conflict that came through here. And it was just great. And then to go down into the church and down into the crypt. And yeah, it was just, yeah. He,
yeah. Just well, I thought his talk, stuff. Yeah, I thought his talk in the crypt was excellent. I mean, everybody was spellbound. You know, it was really interesting to be in the crypt. And the biggest thing for me was realizing that we were only in a fraction of what the crypt's the size used to be. I just presumed that was the original crypt, but I had no idea that it used to be three or four times larger. Well, more than three or four times larger than it is now.
And standing over the grave of William the Conqueror's mother-in-law, which again, you almost laugh. You go, is that a historic site or not? I go, I think it is. William the Conqueror's mother-in-law. That's part of French and British history. Yeah. That, you know, things would have unfolded very differently if she hadn't been born. And you know, so it's just great. But then, of course, we went up the tower in the church.
Some of us did. I didn't go.
You have been before. I led the rear party.
I had the rear party.
Pete started complaining. Pete Closure is about this. Pete started complaining about his dicky knee and, oh, I'll never make it up the steps. Well, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. But some of the group felt that they couldn't make the climb. So Pete took them and actually took them to a couple of really other interesting sites while I led the group up the tower. But again, bonus little things that we don't know what to do. That's what I've loved that feeling, Pete, that like, you know, let's you go off and do this and I'll do this. And as we said in our first podcast, have we come close to the itinerary? Marginally. We've wandered around it. Like it's been like a guiding beacon and we've wandered in loosely in the direction of the itinerary every now and again.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I think that's part of the fun. You know, it's there to follow, but not accurately.
We certainly follow. We take that to heart, Pete.
Yeah.
But other things, Passchendaele Battlefield. We even during our time at Passchendaele, because we've got a bonus day, it means that when we do visit standard battlefield sites, we can take in a few more sites as well. So the Frank Hurley railway cutting, for example, where Frank Hurley took the photo of the dead and dying Australians. A horrific photo. Horrific.
Yeah.
One of the most famous and most awful photos of the war, showing the wounded and shell-shocked and dead Australians, and a dead German as well, sheltering in the railway embankment on the Passchendaele battlefield. And then we walked to that site. And they've done, I mean, I love the great work they've done preserving these sites too, that you can walk right there and see it. Interesting they don't show the photo in that site, though, Pete.
I suspect it's just too gruesome. I have a strange feeling that one time, it may not have been, but it's not there now, even if it had been.
Yeah,
so,
I think you're right.
I think it used to be there
and now it's not.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it was. I've got a feeling it was there once, yeah.
Maybe it's because part of the beautification of the battlefields.
Yeah.
You know, now it's a cycling track. Now it's a walking track. It's where you take your horse if you're a horse rider. You know, so maybe part of that whole thing is that they might feel that there's enough doom and gloom, and they just want to move on and say it's a lovely area. And it is a lovely area. It's a beautiful spot.
Well, I quite like that. It's one of the things that I enjoy seeing. Some people find it odd, but I enjoy seeing people using where there was horror and now there's holidays, and I don't mind that at all. I think I think it's part of life, really.
we better ring the bell for a little Pete and Matt tangent. But Normandy is the perfect example of that. You know, you go to all the D-Day beaches, and there's families in the summer. There's families, you know, filling buckets with sand and making sandcastles and stuff.
Yeah.
You always ask the question. You don't want to speak for the veterans who are no longer with us, but what did they fight for? You know, when they said, I'm going to leave my family and travel to the other side of the world, what are they fighting for? They were fighting to return France and Belgium back to the places that they were before the war. So free from tyranny. So I don't have a problem with it either. I think it's great. If you're visiting a battlefield site, you'd be respectful of what went on there, but geez, we've got to get on with life as well. We can't live in the past.
Well, we did. We did. We went to the cheese factory to taste cheese.
I missed that for our last episode, Pete, where we ate on the battlefields. But no, that is part of the tour as well, because we gave some... The cheese factory was great. I've been there once before, because we went there on the last signature tour in 2019. But what did you think of the cheese factory, Pete? I thought it was fantastic. This is in the heart of the Passchendaele battlefield.
I thought it was fantastic, and it was there that we discovered that one of our clients was allergic to cheese,
that was extraordinary. The one person, as I was welcoming the group as they came in, and just, I don't know why, but just for one person, I said, oh, you're looking forward to you. I hope you like cheese. And she's a lovely lady, and I felt so terrible because she said, well, Matt, I didn't want to tell you up to this point, but I'm terribly allergic to cheese. I was like, oh, my God. And I looked around, and the tables were just covered in cheese. There was just nothing else. Cheese and bread, that was it. Cheese and bread.
Yeah, it was good.
That was our lunch.
Mind you, they reacted very quickly and got us something else, I have to say, which was excellent. Not cheese.
But very. It was just so Belgian as well that everyone just sat down. Here's your cheese. There's no menu to choose from. Just here's what you're having. Lovely room, too, and showing all how the cheese are made and everything. Here's your cheese. Here's a salad, a bit of bread to go with it. And then they poured everyone a beer, whether you wanted one or
excellent.
Not.
Excellent.
And it was a Passchendaele beer, too.
I would normally have turned it down, but it was a special occasion. I thought, no, gotta have one. Gotta have a Passchendaele beer.
So it's been great. Oh, and we should also mention Pond Farm as well, which is, you know, a curiosity, but I think well worth doing just for the theatre of it. But it's Pond Farm was a central point on the Passchendaele battlefield. You look on any trench map and you'll see Pond Farm there. And the family that currently lives there, or has lived there.
Oh, lovely family. Yeah, lovely family.
For a century. But they've done, you know, I don't think there's anything unique about their farm in terms of they find an awful lot of unexploded shells. There's a German bunker, you know. Sorry, not bunker. We decided we weren't saying bunker, didn't we? A pillbox or a blockhouse.
I say bunker, but anyway. Whatever it is. A fortification.
A large concrete block
fortification.
But they've done it well. They display the finds.
It's good.
They let you into the can go into the pillbox. Yeah. Oh, and of
mock-up
course,
mock up tank.
Well, that's the one thing that they do have that's slightly different is that they've built a replica of a Mark IV tank, which is pretty extraordinary. Yeah. One of only a handful in the world. So it wasn't running the day that we were there. It was in for repairs, but still pretty impressive seeing it. In the shed. And the old truck, I liked the truck as well that was there.
I did. Well, actually, I was more interested in the truck because the truck was fairly original.
The truck's authentic.
So that was,
I posted a picture of myself posing in front of the tank on all the socials.
I've seen it.
And two things I did wrong. Firstly, I was smiling. And secondly, I put, admittedly flippant, but I think, you know, lots of big boys' toys to play with in the salient or something. Man, did I cop some feedback about being disrespectful? Men died
smiling.
Don't smile. Men died in this tank, and I'm like, I don't think they did. It was built five years ago, but I'll get off my soapbox, but we can go a little bit far with of course. We're on a battlefield tour. We've come all the way from Australia. Yeah. Obviously, we're there because we're respectful of the whole thing. It doesn't mean for the full 10 days of the tour.
Well, we have to be sobbing
into our hankers. Yeah.
We had this discussion actually with the clients, didn't we? We had this discussion about commemoration and memory, and how should we act when we're in the cemeteries, and how should we feel about the battlefields as we're crossing them. So I think it's important. It's an important aspect of commemoration. Is how do you feel about it, and how should you act, or is there a way you should act? And I don't think there is. My personal view is you act as however you want, you view it as however you want. We all have our different ideas of commemoration.
And we've got to be careful not to be silly about it. I mean, if you have a nice meal and a beer at the end of the day, are you being disrespectful to the memory because you're not, eating bully beef in a hole in the mud? Of course not. Yeah. You know, we're here to pay our respects. So I think that this group sums that up. How wonderful are they? Amazing family connections. It's just a great group of people to be travelling with. And it makes our experience on the battlefields better. I think you and I, Pete, would always have a good time when we're on the battlefields, but to be here with people who share that feeling is just wonderful.
I think our view, my role is to make the whole experience, as well as to try and impart some information, some knowledge to people, but also to make sure they have a good time. I mean, that's got to be part of it. You know, there's no point coming here and all this way when you've come all the way from Australia to be miserable for 9 days or whatever. You know, so I think it's important.
We have our fair share of feeling miserable, don't we? Because, I mean, I've never done a tour where I haven't sort of been a little bit overcome or shed a tear or, you know. Yeah. I think the first day in Calvaire Cemetery in Montbrehan, we talked about it in the last episode, but that was, you know, when I was telling people about these men who died on the last day of Australian, you know, the last Australian battle, I was, you know, it's when you think they come from Gallipoli, you're standing in front of a grave of someone who served since Gallipoli. It's, you know, it's hard not to become emotional about it all.
I think miserable and emotional are two completely different things, and I would beg to say that I don't think anybody on the tour has had a completely kind of dry eye for the whole of the tour so far, and we've got a bit further to go yet. So no, at some stage it gets you, and it gets to me. And I've often said the day that it doesn't get to me anymore is the day that I'll stop doing this, because I think it's important that you do have those feelings of, you know, of sadness and all the rest of the feelings that come when you know what went on in the areas. But that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy the experience, the rest of the experience. It doesn't mean you have to be miserable.
Well, speaking of feeling sad, we're leaving Belgium, hitting the road, heading back down to France. And, you know, I always do love the reception we get up in Belgium. It's the town of Ypres is a wonderful place. Yep. It's, you know, it's just, I love being up here. And, I'm going to be sad to say goodbye. It's been a long time since I've been here. The few days we've spent here is not enough, and it's never enough. Luckily, I'm coming back up with my family after the tour to do some filming, a couple of documentaries. So I'll be back up here again. But onward and upward, Pete. Back down into France, back into your stomping ground, the Somme.
Yep, looking forward to it. And we've got some interesting additions that we don't normally go to. Certainly places that I don't normally take Australian groups. We'll be visiting a few of those and more of those in a future podcast. But I'm looking forward to getting back into my home turf. Only downside is the regulatory hours of lunches and suppers that they have in France. So you've got a week between 7 and 9 on an evening, and 12 and 2 at lunch, or else
you've got to time it well. It taxes our abilities as tour managers, Pete, which is not our strength. History is our strength, not time keeping.
Well, I don't think we've got in on time. We've always been about an hour over, or at least an hour over, I think, every night so far. Yeah.
We just keep packing stuff in. It's been great. I'm not going to make the mistake I made in the last podcast and promise that you'll hear from us tomorrow or the next day, but at some stage we will be back to talk about our adventures in the Somme, because it's been busy, but that's great. That's why we're here. Mate, it's been it's been wonderful. I've really enjoyed the time. I've loved our time in Belgium, and bring on the Somme. I'm excited.
Yep, indeed. Looking forward to the next chapter, as they say.
Well, we'll talk to everyone again soon. Thanks, Pete.
All right. Yep. We'll be back.